Good evening, listeners. Welcome to the Ask the Author Live teleconference hosted by Lady AJP Ministries, and thank you for being a part of our listening audience. Our mission is to connect Christian living authors with other authors, writers, and readers by creating a networking platform that benefits all. Listeners will receive information, insight, and inspiration as our authors share their knowledge and experience concerning their published work. And as a special thank you to our listeners, we conclude our call each month with a drawing for an autographed book. Today's special guest is out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and we'll be discussing The Wedding Party. Here's the synopsis for those of you who are not familiar with this book. Lee Robinson is a fun-loving, high-spirited young lady who is the daughter of a well-known bishop of Haynesville Community Church. She seems to have it all: wonderful friends, a near-perfect life, and a wonderful fiancé, Grant Sturdivant, with whom she is deeply in love. Grant is in the Army and is stationed in Germany. Before he comes home, she begins planning their dream wedding. After Lee suffers a significant headache one day that puts her in the hospital for an indefinite amount of time, her friends begin to worry about her and wonder whether or not she and Grant will still get married. Meanwhile, Janice Mitchell, Grant's ex, is jealous of Lee and her relationship with Grant and does everything in her power to break them up. And now, I introduce to some and present to others the author of The Wedding Party, author Cheryl J. McCullough. Hello, Cheryl.
Hi, Angela. How are you?
Hi there. Great. Glad you're able to join us today. Now, thank you. This is such an exciting book. I tell you, I finished it in one night.
Good. I'm glad to hear your attention like that.
Yeah, I was determined. I was like, I am not going to sleep until I finish this book. It was just that good. Thank you for producing such a great piece. Now, from your perspective, what's unique about writing Christian fiction?
Angela, I write fiction for entertainment. So writing Christian fiction gets the message of the kingdom out there using entertainment as a vehicle. So I think that's what's unique about it. You get the entertainment, but you're still able to get the message out, God's message.
Right. Now, this book has an interesting cover. Can you tell us what the inspiration was for your book cover?
Everybody is very intrigued by the cover. The story deals with a wedding and a funeral. So I wanted to capture both of those main themes from the story, and putting the casket in the midst of a wedding scene seemed to just be the natural way to do it. Interestingly, people just have really mixed feelings about it. It's gotten a lot of attention.
I'm sure. Well, I'll be honest. When I first looked at the cover, I saw the runner going down the middle of the book, and I didn't see the casket. Not at first.
That's what usually happens. People tend to see, because the wedding scene, the runner, the chairs, the flowers, all of that tends to catch their eye, and then they see the casket. It's usually a reaction.
And that was when I first saw the cover, I really didn't see the casket. And when it finally dawned on me that I wasn't looking at the typical wedding setting, that really was a casket up there, it threw me. I'm like, wow, whoa, wait a minute. And when I got a chance to talk to you.
Yeah, I wanted the awe factor or the shock value So your reaction was exactly what I was looking for when I put that together.
Well, you definitely got the reaction that you wanted from me. It threw me, because at first I just didn't see it. And when I did, I'm not even sure what made me notice it, because I looked at the book a couple of times before I actually noticed it. I was like, oh my God, that's a casket. And then it was bugging me. I was like, how did I not see that? And I think we're so used to seeing parts of things and processing what we know is supposed to be there that sometimes we miss what's really there.
Right, right. And most people don't see the casket at first. And when they do, as I said, there's shock value. And then, of course, the questions come from there. People start asking questions. When I was in the processing stages of the book, when I received the author's copy, I actually took it to a bookstore and set it on a shelf. I just wanted to see what it was going to look like. And there was another lady in the store. And she walked up and she said, oh, my God. And she didn't realize that it was, I'm standing there as the author. There's only one copy. I'm just trying to see what it's going to look like on the shelf.
Right.
Of course, I engaged her in conversation, but her initial reaction was, oh, my God.
That is funny. I know the feeling. Yes, I do. Now, Lee Robinson is the main character, and reading the book synopsis, we get an introduction to her, but you're introducing her as a friend, because you've spent a lot of time with Ms. Robinson. You're introducing her as a friend to your friend. So tell her, give us an intimate introduction to Ms. Lee Robinson.
Leah is actually the oldest daughter of two girls, Lee and Catherine Robinson. Lee Robinson is a very prominent bishop in this fictional town of Hattiesville. She's a nurse. She's very well respected personally and professionally. Mm-hmm. And she's Grant Sturdivant's fiance. Now, of course, what that means in a small town, he's someone that all the girls wanted to date. You know, he's that guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he is his fiance. Because her family is so prominent in the community, because they are involved in a church that's the nucleus of a lot of what goes on in that community, she's very well known. A lot of people know who she is. Mm-hmm. She is a strong person. As the synopsis said, she just seems to have it all.
Okay.
And then things just go in a very different direction.
And that leads me to my next question. How did you decide, Cheryl, on the challenges that you interject into the story?
Angela, I tried to make the challenges that are in this story and in the other stories that I've written real life situations. It's a fiction work, but fiction is a twist on reality in most cases.
Right.
But a lot of these challenges are things that I know firsthand, and some of them are things that I know from other people. And for an example, there is an interracial relationship in this story that is really tough, and it's tough on the couple, it's tough on their friends. But that's true. That is actually a true storyline of someone that I know very well.
Wow.
And the nationality, everything, and it's a real story. And I just added and subtracted some facts to make it fictional, of course, but it is a real story of someone that I really know who experienced it. So what I tried to do was take real-life situations and add and subtract some things to make it a part of a fiction story. But all of the challenges that you see there, even, and I'll share this with our audience, that Grant's father, Paul Sturdivant, who's in the story, had an injury that left him paralyzed. That actually happened to my own father. So that part of the story is very true and very personal to me. So I took those those things and just added them to the story.
Gotcha. Well, talking about real life situations, let's talk about Grant Sturgeon, Leah's fiance, and the love interest from his past. How did you select and develop that character?
Well, Janice is a combination of some real people that I know.
Mm-hmm.
Her storyline and that whole insanity surrounding their relationship is really about some things that I know. I exaggerated some of it. But it's a little of this, a little of that. As an example, there is a scene in the book that happens in the Charlotte Airport where she was acting really crazy.
Yeah, I remember.
I actually observed that.
Wow.
Somebody in the airport, a young lady and a gentleman, having a very similar conversation. And I walked by and looked at her like, have you lost your mind? Do you realize you are in an international airport? There are hundreds of people in here, and she's acting really crazy. So I took that real-life story and infused it into this fiction story. But she is just a person that bits and pieces of people that I've known and situations that I've known about over the years. And I just put them all on her.
Gotcha.
Someone told me that they were really concerned about where my head was that I could even create a character.
Yeah, because Janice was something else. She really was.
Put it mildly,
Yes.
And even writing her and then going back and reading, I thought, gosh, she is really crazy. But we all probably know someone who was that way about it. So, it's not that far.
Yeah, Janice is real, unfortunately.
Yeah, she really
Janice is very real. She's very real. Now, this book truly is about relationships. You talk about past love relationships. You talk about current love relationships. You talk about interracial relationships. You talk about relationships between family members in this book. What overall theme are you wanting to share with your readers through this work?
Relationships can be tough, whether they're relationships between husbands and wives, a couple who's dating, sisters, mother's daughters, father's daughters. Relationships can be tough. But we have to work at it. Both people have to be willing to do the work to make it successful. On the other hand, relationships are essential. All of us are in relationships of some kind. And a lot of them are not tough. Some relationships, we have relationships with friends, with coworkers. And depending on why you're in that relationship and what it means to your everyday life is how you react to it or how you nurture it or don't nurture it as it is. And so my point behind all of this was just to say if you do the work, it can be successful. Sometimes if you don't do the work, it won't be successful. And then there are instances where some relationships just don't need to be, and we need to be able to realize that, to understand that, and to make that call and say, okay, maybe this isn't really healthy for me, this isn't really a good thing, and I need to remove myself from this to be my better self. And so I think the underlying thing is to determine if this is a good relationship, and if it is, what do I have to do to make it better, or if it's not, do I need to walk away?
Right. And that's so important because it can determine our success in life based on the people that we're connected to.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's great. Well, this book is the first of a trilogy. Can you give us just a little bit of book two, which is already published and out there. So listeners who are interested in that book, this one is available to introduce us to that second book, Cheryl.
The title of the second book is Absent One from Another. Now, it was released in December of 2014, and it picks up 3 years after the wedding party ends, and it addresses some unanswered questions that were in the wedding party. For those of the readers, of the listeners who have read it, they know that there's some unanswered questions. For those who haven't read it, when you get through it, you'll say, well, what about this? What about that? So when you get to Absent, and the full title is Absent One from Another, it picks up 3 years later. It goes back and talks about some of the things that were going on in the wedding party. Now, Absent also has a few new characters, not a lot, but their lives are entangled with the characters that were in the wedding party.
Yeah.
So you pick up, you catch up, and then you move forward. Now, the third book in the trilogy.
Well, if I can stop you right there,
Cheryl,
okay. I'm curious from a writer's perspective. When you were writing The Wedding Party, did you start that book knowing that you were going to do it as a trilogy?
I knew it would be two books. I did not intend originally that it was going to be three, but after I got into it, there was so much that in developing the characters, I didn't want to just leave any of them just tame.
Right.
So I knew it would be two, but then once I got into the second one, I decided that it would be three. And, of course, a lot of writers do books in trilogies, so that's not an unusual tactic.
Right.
But I once I really got into it, and I just fell in love with so many parts of it and pieces of it, and I wanted the readers to experience what I was experiencing as the writer. So I went to the third book. Now, to be perfectly honest with you, my intention with the third book was to end it there, but I don't know.
Well, I was going to ask you, because I'm going to tell you, I took 2 days to read the second book. And it was just because it was just too much going on. It was way too much going on for me. But I didn't want to put it down, but I had to. So when I finished the second day, I was like, there's no way she just ended this book like this. So I'm like, I want the third book now, Cheryl.
Well, the third book will actually be out right after Thanksgiving. And it's actually right now in the publishing process. I told them I wanted it before Christmas because I want people, while they have some downtime during the holidays, to be able to read it. So it will be out right after Thanksgiving. Actually, maybe the week of Thanksgiving, but they're telling me right after Thanksgiving it should be out.
Okay.
The title of it is Christmas Dinner.
Okay.
And it picks up immediately after Absent One from Another.
Thank you. Because I was like, if you do 3 years, I'm going to scream.
No, there's no gap. It literally picks up the next day.
Wow. Okay, that's good. I needed that.
Yeah. When Absent ends, Christmas Dinner actually picks up the next day. And it goes through, and one of my test readers said that it ties some things neatly in a bow. So, it actually, the end of that story is during the Christmas holiday. So that's one of the reasons that it is titled Christmas Dinner. But the characters, you don't need but maybe one new character, but he's a minor character. Just to put some validity to one of the other storylines. But it brings some closure to a lot of what's going on. But what I will say to you, Angela, and to our listeners is, I am not a happily ever after writer.
Okay.
So some of these people may not live happily ever after. Let me just say it like that.
I understand. Well, thank you, because life is not happily ever after. As much as we plan for it to be.
And as much as we want it to be. Yeah, absolutely. Stuff happens. And so it's not always, it doesn't just always end the way fairy tales end, you know.
And that's what I was just thinking.
Yeah, Mark Twain said life is stranger than fiction. Well, a lot of these books are about life.
Yeah.
And so every storyline is not going to be happily ever after, but I think the readers will be very, very intrigued with the way it goes.
Great. Well, I'm really excited. Now, I'm just wondering, this book is done. You said it's in pre-production or it's in production now. Do you have plans on working on something now that you're done writing that third book, Christmas Center?
Yeah, actually, I'm writing two books at the same time, and that was a little ambitious, but that's what I'm doing. One story I've been writing on actually 5 years. The title of it is A Special Place in Heaven. It is nonfiction, and it's actually about my two sons. I raised my boys as a single mother, and there's so many of us out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to just talk about some of the things that I did and didn't do in raising my two sons basically on my own. I started writing in 2010. My younger son was in college, and my older son was out of college. I'm actually going to finish it in May, because my older son will be graduating with his PhD, and my younger son will be graduating with his master's, and they will graduate one day apart in May.
Wow.
So that will be the end of the story, and it's a lot about them. And the first line in the book says, I submit that there's a special place in heaven for mothers and boys. And so it talks a lot about the challenges of being a mother to boys, and then being a single mother to boys, and that's one of the ones. And then the second one is fiction, which is what I prefer. Fiction writing is my passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on it, and probably will be most of next year trying to get it done, because I'm working on two at the same time. And then, of course, marketing the trilogy.
Right.
So, but yeah, I am working on some other things. I actually have outlines for 13 books.
So, I feel you.
Yeah. I mean, if God gives me downloads, I write everything down. I have something with me that I can write on all the time. And it's interesting, because I get inspiration for stories in the strangest places.
Right.
My favorite funny story to tell is standing in line at the DMV, and seeing these people talk, and I wrote down this scenario about these people, and made an outline for a story from that. But yeah, I find that God gives me inspiration. He gives me downloads for stories in just the most unusual places. But the stories will develop as he sees that they need to develop, and the message that he wants to get out. And as I said at the top, I write fiction for entertainment, but writing Christian fiction is an outlet for his message to get out and use entertainment as a vehicle to make that happen.
Right. Well, this is just so awesome, and your work is wonderful. Because I write, I'm very critical of what I read, and I was very engaged the entire time I was reading both of your books. Cannot wait for the third one to come out. How can our listeners get a copy of this book, The Wedding Party?
The Wedding Party is available on my website, and for those people who go to the website and order it, I will autograph it and mail it to you, And then it's also available through for electronic books on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and then it's available locally through Parkwell Books. But let me spell my name so that people can get to the website without a lot of trouble.
That's great.
The website is CherylMcCullerWrites.com. It's CHERYLMCCULLOUGHWRITES.com. CherylMcCullerWrites.com. And again, if you go to that website, order the book from the website, I will autograph it and mail it to you. But for those people who prefer to download it on their Kindles or their Nooks, then of course it's available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Cheryl. This has been a great Ask the Author teleconference session, and we really appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you, Angela. I appreciate what you do to help authors to market and to really get the word out to people. What you do is phenomenal, and I commend you for it, and I appreciate you involving me in this process.
Thank you so much. And we look forward to that next book. Yes, we do. All right.